Hey there, I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to episode 42 of The Brave Podcast. So glad that you guys are here today, and happy October. I love the month of October. I love fall. The leaves start changing. It starts cooling down, which is the most number one thing that I love. I love cold weather, so I can start wearing hoodies and boots and beanies. So I hope you guys are enjoying the fall weather as much as I am and your pumpkin spice lattes. I love those. I absolutely love those. They're so yummy. Okay, enough of that. Before we get started, I want to let you guys know about a really cool retreat that's happening on December 5th. My previous guest, Dr. April Jones, is hosting it with the Drifted Drum Company. It's a retreat to refresh and renew yourself. I will put the link in the show notes. Again, it's December 5th. And if you decide to sign up, if you use the code BRAVE, you get 10% off of the retreat, which is a great deal. So thank you so much, April, for that. All right. Today's guest is my new friend, Travail C.W. Lynch. He is a new author, and he has a great mission and a great story. You're absolutely going to love getting to hear his story and sitting down with him. His beginning is absolutely amazing, and you can see the power of God in his life and how God took a life that was headed on a path of destruction and turned it into something absolutely great. His newest book is What Is Enough? You're going to love hearing his story. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I love you all. And without further ado, here is my host, Travail C.W. Lynch. You're listening to The Brave Podcast. And my guest today is, I am going to butcher your name, Travail.
Yes.
Travail Lynch. All right, Travail, I'll have you introduce yourself and tell everybody why you are awesome.
Hi, everyone. My name is Travail C.W. Lynch. I always add the C.W. in there as an honor to my father who gave me the gift of writing, and then the W for an honor to my mother who gave me the gift of speaking. So my name is Travail C.W. Lynch. I am a pastor. I am a self-worth specialist. And the reason that I'm awesome is because I'm made in the image of God. He is an awesome God. And so as the Bible tells me and tells us that we are created in the very image, nature of God. And so I am a piece of God, a reflection of God. I am a unique expression of my creator. And so if I'm a piece of my God and my God is awesome, then that makes me awesome as well. That makes you awesome as well.
Yes, I love that. Okay. So my question for you, my first one is, I want to hear a bit about your journey as becoming a Christian. So share that with the listeners here.
All right. Well, I don't have the year down pat. Maybe I should get that kind of written out so I can be ready when asked that question. But I don't know the year. I know it was in, I would say, 1999-ish. I was in county jail. I was brought up on grand theft charges. I was guilty as charged, to be honest. And this was back when I was living in Toledo, Ohio. I now live in Southern California, but I found myself on the weekend before going to trial in the county jail a Sunday morning. And one of the things that they provide for, whether it's prisoners or people who are locked up, they provide a Sunday morning service.
Okay.
So the bailiff came down. Yeah. So the bailiff came down the hall one. Or not one, but came down the hall that Sunday morning, and he made the announcement. He said, hey, anyone who wants to get out of their cell block, go down here to this service, follow me, line up. So my idea was, hey, man, I need to get out of this cell block. I'm tired of looking at this television that continues to play the exact same channel 24 hours a day. I'm tired of being around these guys who are totally negative, and I just needed a change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, an hour away, let's do it. So I attended a Sunday morning prison ministry, a prison service. And I always tell people, I don't remember exactly what these women said. It was about four women from a local church. I don't know what they said, to be honest. It still feels like a blur. But what I can tell you is they told me a story about Jesus. And I remember the elements of the story pretty much said, you know, he died for me, that he wanted me, that he accepted me, that I was loved. Even though I was running the streets as I was, even though I was robbing, stealing, lying, cheating, doing some horrible, horrible things, both to other people as well as to myself, they told me a story that at my lowest point, as low as I could go, there's this Jesus that loves me and accepts me. And, you know, growing up, my self-image, my self-value, my self-worth was completely destroyed. I had no self-worth or value whatsoever. I did not believe that my life was worth anything. And so I was ready to, you know, throw my life away. Mm. But hearing this, you know, hearing this message about a Jesus that loves me, and I always emphasize the word accept, because that's a major thing in our society, to be accepted, not only by other people, but accepted by yourself. And so I heard that story, and I remember them saying, hey, put your head down. And if anyone, like, there was like three rows of like tables, and we all had our head on the table. And I remember the woman saying, if you want to accept God, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, raise your hand. And even as I wrote in my new book, my hand flew up off the table. Like, it was one of those surreal, supernatural, wasn't me in control thing. My hand just flew up off the table. And before I knew it, I was down front. They welcomed anyone who raised their hand to come down front. I went down front. They said a prayer over me. And from that moment on, my life had never, ever been the same. I knew and I experienced and I acknowledged a shift, a change in my thinking almost immediately. At that time, I was immediate. No, I mean, it was like, you know, I remember being addicted to weed. I was a weed smoker. I've got weed tattoos all over my body. I woke up to weed, went to bed to weed, and no one had to tell me anything. I had never stepped into a church or anything. And when I got released from prison, I attempted to smoke, you know, weed, and there was a conviction there. Hmm. I hadn't read the Bible, no Christians in my life telling me, no, don't do that, put that down. It was just a relationship. Something happened on the inside of me that said, this isn't right anymore. Now, I still continued to do it, but there was a conviction there that I recognized. So that was my coming to God
story. Wow. And so your heart completely changed just by that ministry coming in.
Yeah, I was at a point where I think I was ready. My today wife was my girlfriend then, and she was pregnant with our oldest son. I've got four children now, but she was pregnant with our oldest son. And even though I was just a complete thug, complete reckless in the streets, I think I was at a point where I was ready to hear something different. And it was just the perfect timing. And I didn't want to repeat the generational, you know, devastation of my past, you know, not having a father growing up, my mother, you know, addicted to drugs and, you know, alcohol. So I just didn't want that to continue. So in the back of my mind, I didn't want that to continue, but yet I was still continuing it. So mm-hmm. Jesus met me at the perfect time.
I love that. And I listened to your story. So I have family members, and I'm from Ohio as well, from Cleveland, Ohio. I was born there. And okay. So I have family there, and your life, your previous life is what they live now. And so listening to you kind of gives me hope, because I pray for them. I don't want them to continue this like generation of like crime and going to jail and substance abuse, and then their kids do it, and then their kids do it. And what I'm hearing in your story is the factor that's changing all that. It was Jesus and accepting Jesus and totally turning you into a new person. So it gives me hope to like continue praying that their story can change too. It's all over my family. And it's just, it's hard to watch. You're like, what can stop this? What can stop this chain? And it's truly Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have this background being in prison. What led you to ministry? What led you to become a pastor?
Yeah. Well, after, you know, after being released from jail and there's a much more detailed backdrop to the story, but in short, just to like summarize it, my first cousin was then and is now my senior pastor at my church. But he came to my rescue. He came down to the ports to kind of see what was going on. Didn't know this, but for years, he and a prayer team had been praying for me for years. Hmm. Yeah, like, so like once I got into the church and he introduced me to people and told me this, they had been praying for me weekly for years. So he came to my rescue with a lawyer friend of his from college. It was the craziest thing because he was coming from my court case down the escalator, and his college friend, who he hadn't seen in years, was coming up the escalator. And he looked at him, and they exchanged looks, and he said, "Hey, man, how you been doing? You know, yeah." And the college buddy was a lawyer, and the college buddy said, "Hey, man, what are you doing here?" And he said, "Yeah, well, I got my cousin up here. You know, he's brought up on some charges. Maybe you can help him out." And man, it was nothing but God to just orchestrate that perfectly. Oh. So my cousin, yeah, it was like he got me the lawyer who was a man of faith. And, you know, we struck a deal, and God worked through the people that I had, you know, robbed to even forgive me of, you know, of doing it and work out a deal where, you know, once I got released, if I would just pay back the money that I stole, that they would drop all charges and that my record would be completely, they call it expunged, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't show up on the public records. And so God really redeemed and really cleared me of that. So coming out of that situation, I went directly into the church and started serving in a sound ministry, because at that time I still had aspirations of being like a rapper and getting into music and things such as that. So my pastor felt like the best place for me to serve was to be in their sound ministry. So long story short, he got a job here in Southern California. A pastor that was moving out asked him to come in to replace him. And he said, "Hey, you know, I want to take some families with me to relocate. You know, why don't you guys fast and pray about it?" I said, "Okay, you know, I'll do that." So my wife and I, we fasted, we prayed, and we felt that God was saying to relocate. So we did. And it wasn't until we got out here that people began to see my gift for speaking and for preaching and for writing. And then they began to kind of share with me what they saw, which was, you know, "Hey, man, one day you're going to be a pastor. One day you're going to, you know, be God's shepherd. And, you know, we see these things on you." And so for years, I just rejected it and pushed it away. But finally, after having a really deep conversation with one of my spiritual mentors, I fasted for 21 days, and on day 21, I woke up. I'll never forget it. Isaiah 55:5. I woke up that morning, that 21st day of fasting, no food, just water. I was at my weakest point, and I think that God kind of brings us sometimes to our weakest point for us to be able to really hear Him well. And He said, "You're my guy. This is for you." And so I accepted my call to ministry, 2006. And I was ordained in 2010.
Wow. What was it like to preach your first sermon, like after you'd gone through all this? What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool because I had been given the opportunity to preach multiple times even prior, you know, to be honest. Because one of the things that I always share on podcasts or share, you know, whenever I'm interviewed is I believe that five words can change your life. Okay. Five words can literally change your life. And the reason that I say that is we weren't in Southern California. Now, I got out of jail in 2000. We were in California in 2001.
Oh,
so
wow.
A year later. So, I mean, things move rapidly.
Yeah.
So a year later, I mean, I'm in Southern California. The pastor who was here on staff, he since passed away, but it was a pastor named Eric Brown. I actually dedicated my new book to him. Eric Brown asked me to share a 15-minute message with a group of men. And I shared a 15-minute message, Mark 1:35. I'll never forget it. My first time ever sharing, preaching, teaching anything whatsoever out the Bible. I didn't know nothing, never went to seminary, anything. And I shared this message. And, you know, I don't know if I was good or bad. I just shared from the heart.
Yeah.
It's over with, right? And I go and I'm putting up my computer, my little laptop, and I'm putting my Bible back in my bag. And Pastor Eric walks up to me and he says, "Travail." He puts a hand on my shoulder. And if any man could ever look you in the eye and you felt like God was looking at you, it was Pastor Eric Brown. He looked me like directly in the eye, like as if he was looking through me. Like he looked me in the eye and he said, "Travail, you are a teacher." And that's where I get those five words from. "Travail, you are a teacher." And that was so, it resonated. It was revelation. It was rejuvenation. It was revitalization. It was like every rev you could possibly find, right? Because it was, he told me what I was. He told me what I was. And you'll find that thread in my new book. He told me what I was. And no one had ever told me what I was. Because we fixate so much in this world on, you know, finding out your purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you? We talk about our identity, you know, who are you? But what I'm passionate about is what are you? Huh. And I find that the what of our life, I always look at life in three different components, who, why, and what. But the what keeps getting left out. It keeps getting pushed to the side. And I think that that's strategic, but I won't go into the whole spiritual stuff about it. But I think that's strategic because what you are tells you your confidence point. It tells you your capacity point. It tells you your contribution point. If you know what you are, you know your capacity. You know where you can have confidence, and you know what you can contribute to the rest of humanity. And so, he in that moment said, "What I was," and it rocked my world.
He changed everything.
And it changed everything. Because at that time, I didn't know what a spiritual gift was. Like I didn't know teaching was a fivefold ministry gift. I didn't know that there was a gift called teaching that God endowed upon man. You know, I didn't know those things, but he told me what I was, and that totally changed everything.
Can you go into spiritual gifts a little bit for our listeners who might not be sure what that is?
Yeah. Spiritual gifts. Now, everyone has one. So if you're listening, you are never excluded. I don't want to get, because I am so big on not getting into like the Hollywood culture of church. You know, it's not that you have to be a pastor or you have to be a prophet or you have to be an evangelist. Okay. Listen, we are all ministers. We are all ministers. I don't play that game. Like you may, I don't get in the big grand pool of chairs and I don't get in the titles and special seating and all. It's like, for me, it's time out for all of that. It's like, man, we are all real people. We are all real, you know, just humans. But he does give out special gifting so that we can serve one another. A gift is always for someone else. Yeah. So for those that are listening, a spiritual gift is a special endowment that God will give you that allows you to operate in a capacity that is unique, that is special, that is a point and a place of power and authority. So when I speak, you know, there's been years where I didn't know how to speak in terms of either being educated or taking classes or someone really teaching me how to speak.
Yeah.
But I've always, from the moment I've opened my mouth, people have told me, man, you are the person that people listen to. When you speak, the room is at attention. When you're in front of a crowd, people are leaning in, literally. And I say, listen, I'm glad that you see that. I pray God never shows me that, because if that's the case, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't for no big head. I'm not for all that. Mm-hmm. But if I can serve in that capacity, then, you know, amen. But yeah, that's what a spiritual gift is. It's just a special ability that God's given you that you can work toward perfecting and getting really good at. But it also comes very naturally and organic. You won't have to go to seminary. You won't have to go to college. You won't have to take an online course. It just happens. And I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, a part of my past was stuttering. Yeah. So I'll trip over words. I'll catch myself on words. To this day, I'm 43 years old. To this day, there are words that are difficult for me to either pronounce or sentences that are difficult for me to start. And I've learned to embrace that because that's an awesome testimony. Mm. He took a dude that stuttered and said, get in front of folks. Get in front of people, get on stage, get on a podcast, go live on Facebook. The dude that can barely talk, he said, I'm using you to communicate a message. And I just think that's dope.
That is an awesome testimony when you put it like that. Yeah, your weakest point, God can still use it.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. And so you said you work on self-work. Did I get that right? Yeah, can you explain that a little bit to our listeners and what that is and how you do that?
Yes. So I believe, you know, because some of our coined phrases out in society are, you know, whether it's coaching, confidence coach, I see some of the other ones, personal development coaching, a life coach is another big kind of coined phrase. So kind of in that same vein, that same spirit, I'm a self-worth specialist. And I believe that God gave me that title so that I can communicate a very specific self-development element. And what I mean by that is my philosophy is that the greatest form of self-development is self-discovery. I believe that the work is always within. The work is always within. I teach from the position that, as my brand says, I am the possible. If you listen to, or if you really break that phrase down, I am, which is a present tense word, the possible or possibilities, that's a future tense word. Mm-hmm. And so I always help, you know, so I always like to help people to understand that as our flagship, you know, slogan, you know, goes, I and my possibilities are one and the same.
Okay.
Everything I hope to be tomorrow, I already am today. So it's this idea that you came into this world already everything you're ever going to be. All we ever do is increase in our capacity to be that which we already are. And so I just want to help people to really discover what's already there. Because, you know, in our formative years, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, we hear questions like, oh, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And I always pick on that statement because it's so popular. I always ask people whenever I preach or teach, I say, how many of you, you know, let me get a raise of hands. How many of you have ever heard or asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
And I always say, that's a great question. However, the underlining to that is, what do you want to be? What do you desire to be one day, someday, far off? And I say, why don't we teach our children, or why don't we focus more on appreciating what we already are, and we can build that foundation from what we are instead of, you know, sort of, you know, and you're 7, 8 years old. You don't know what you want.
You really
to
don't.
Be.
You have no idea.
You don't.
You're a little kid. You want to play outside. Like, you have no idea what you want to do. Yeah.
You have no idea. No, but we put ourselves, and we're conditioned to be in that, you know, under that, you know, under the gun, so to speak, of I've got to get a dream, I've got to get an ambition, I've got to get a goal,
exactly.
I've got to fight for something. I'm like, yo, you know, we always come level up. Dude, listen, stop leveling up. How about level down and let's learn what we are. Then we can build a foundation on that. Because think of it. If Eric never told me that I was a teacher, my ambitions could have still to this day be out of alignment.
Yeah.
I could still be out of alignment because society gives you this choice of pick what you want to be one day, someday, instead of looking within and seeing what's already there and learning to appreciate and to accept from within. So that's that work within. That's that work within. It's self-discovery. The greatest form of self-development is self-discovery. So I know I said a mouthful right there, but it gets me excited when you ask.
I can tell. You know what's crazy? That was the exact call I had this morning with my coach. Oh my God. Like, yeah, we were talking about Psalm 139 and verses, I think it's 14 and 15. And she was basically saying, God already, when we were born, he already put everything within us. We already have it in us. And then she also talked about when we were little, so my mind was blown when you were talking, was that when we were little, people are forcing us to kind of decide what we want to do and telling us, you can be this, you can be this, you can be this. But what does God say? And you're already equipped and looking within. So it's so funny that I'm having this conversation with you now, because I just talked about that like 2 hours ago about this exact same thing. And I'm like, how funny is that this is now coming up in our conversation?
Mm-hmm.
How funny God wants to get this known. We're already equipped. And it's weird to think that when you were born, that was already within you. So to be a teacher, you were already born with it. To be a speaker, you're already born with it. You just have to discover it within you. So I love that.
Yes.
It's eye-opening. It makes you look to what am I? What, like what you were saying, though, like what am I supposed to do? look at the what instead of the who and all of that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Don't leave the what out. Yeah.
That is so, you know what? So cool.
As I'm working on this masterclass right now, one of the things I'm really passionate about helping people understand is that I look at it like a three puzzle pieces, the who, the why, and the what.
Mm-hmm.
And we're often trying to discover who we are, meaning the identity, the personality, how we are to carry ourselves, the why we are, our purpose in life, right? What is it that we're supposed to accomplish, and mm-hmm. and what are we, you know, to achieve for God? But it's funny how if you start with what, it directs you as to how or who you are to be, who you are to show up as in the world. If you start with what, it shows you what you're capable or you have the capacity to accomplish in your why. It's so phenomenal that it's like, let's keep the what tucked away. Let's keep that hidden. Let's not talk about that. Now go figure out who you're supposed to be. Go figure out the personality that you're supposed to carry. Oh, go figure out your why. Why is it that you were born? Just go figure that out. But never find out what you are. It's almost like saying you're a car, but you have ambitions to be a plane. Now, you're never going to be a plane. You're only going to be a car. A car has the capacity to take, what, maybe 4, 6, possibly 8 passengers mm-hmm. from here to there on 4 wheels. Now, that's your capacity. But we say, never mind learning what you are. Have dreams and ambitions of being an airplane that can seat 50 or 60 or 100 people. You don't have the capacity for that. So you'll always be unhappy because you'll be trying to do something that's not within your capacity.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, yo, man, why don't we learn? Because again, if I'm a teacher and I try to be a doctor, I could accomplish that because God's given us great minds. We can learn, we can apply things, we can, you know, assume knowledge and we can apply it and, you know, we can learn skills, but I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be satisfied.
No.
And so that's why I'm so passionate. We have to learn what we are because that's going to be tied directly to our fulfillment, our happiness, our joy, our peace. And that goes back to that work within. So I'm sorry. I know that you didn't ask me that.
That was great. My next question is like, so for someone who wants to start with the what, how do they start with finding out what they are?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, if you're not fortunate enough to have an Eric Brown in your life, what I did was I am putting together, and I've already put together kind of one piece of the puzzle, but I am creating something that's really robust to kind of include all of the elements that I've, you know, utilized and things that I've done. But to answer that question, the very first thing is I share with people the value of self-observation. And that's not always a popular thing because we live in a society that's very fast-paced, fast-moving. Although with COVID right now, we got some time to chill out and slow down a little bit. You know, so we're not microwaved as we once was. So it's not, you know, going as hard as we once did. But self-observation. And what I mean by that is the practice and the patience of observing what you organically, naturally do is already there. Meaning, you know, some of those coin questions. What makes you cry every time you see it? What makes you laugh every time you see it? What, when you hear about that thing on the news, it just kind of pokes you in the side? What is that thing that when you hear about it in your family that you're like, man, I really wish that wasn't the case? What is that thing that you do that other people totally compliment you on? You didn't go to college. You didn't go to, you didn't take any, you know, online courses, but you just do it and people love it. Maybe it's you cook a meal and just people just flock and they say, oh, you make the best whatever. Or something that you do that took other people years to develop, but you just do it naturally, organically. Mm-hmm. When we self-observe, those are what I call breadcrumbs. Those are clues that will start to lead you to what it is that God created you to do. I did create a self-discovery workbook.
Okay.
And that workbook consists of 4 key assessments, some insights from my book, some other personal insights, and some graphs and some things that kind of help you to really kind of pull everything together. But everything comes back to observation and assessment. We must do a personal assessment. Before ambition, assess. right? Before we accept what the world is saying that we are, you know, I like to say before you accept, assess.
Okay.
Because some people out there, they don't know you like that. Some people, listen, if you're listening to this, people don't know you like that. They barely know themselves. And many times they have the nerve to tell you about you and, mm-hmm. and what you should be doing. And many of us, we don't even know ourselves, but we're quick to give other people advice. So I always say assess before you accept.
Okay.
So self-assessments and self-observation. I do also practice meditation. And that's not a big fancy word for, you know, people of different races and cultures. Meditation is found in the Bible. Meditation is simply our ability to regurgitate God's word and meditate and sit. Actually, meditation comes from what cows do with their food. They chew it, they swallow it, they bring it back up, and they chew it again. It's just the patience and the quietness and the stillness of being able to quiet and still oneself and really, you know, as the Bible says, be still and know that he is God. Really being able to be still and quiet and really listen to that inner voice, really listen to that inner dialogue that's already trying to guide you. It's already trying to lead you. But again, we're so busy and we're so loud in our world that we sometimes drown that voice out.
Yeah, that's so true. And like you said, with what happened with COVID, I felt like, for me, a lot of people don't say this, but for me, it was kind of a blessing. No, it was a blessing because it got to slow down my world, which was rushing. And I felt like I was drowning. I mean, I was drowning until everything was gone, like all the excess. I'm like, oh, I can hear the Lord better. I can focus on things like this that I love to do. It just opened up this world when everything, when I just was still and was able to focus on my dreams, my aspirations, my what, to see what,
right.
like what God had for me. I could hear him because it was quiet. And so I was like, okay, this is a good thing. I'm going to grasp onto this time and hold on to it tightly because it's a blessing. It's hard that people have passed and the things that have gone on with it, but there's been blessing in it too, to just slow down because we're all so encouraged to do, and to go, and to rush. And we're in a now, like kind of a now generation, like an instant gratification. So like now that's all gone. So you only thing you have to do is just sit and rest now. And it's a good thing.
That's right. I agree.
All right. So I want to go into your book and what led you to write it and all the good stuff.
Yeah. The book. So what is enough is a question and an answer. I always tell people that it answers itself because the question is, what is enough? And it's really written to a group of people like myself who really have the belief system that unless I do enough, I'll never be enough.
Mm-hmm.
I also kind of put it in words of until I do something significant, I'll never be something significant. And we live in what I call do dependency. It's I'm dependent on doing something in order to see my significance, see my value, see my worth. And so it's written to that group of individuals. I've often been told that the book reads like a conversation.
It does.
I really wanted
it. It really does.
Okay, great. Yeah, see? Okay, great. Awesome. So that was really my intention because I'm that guy. Like, I'm that guy. I'm a pastor. I'm a speaker. I'm an author and all that. Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. Those are titles. Strip all that away. Take all that away. I'm a dude that has to wake up every single morning, and seek the face of God for that assurance, man, for that peace again, because we fight it every day.
Yeah.
We've been conditioned for so long. It's so ingrained that it's not an overnight thing. And so I'm speaking to people who are out there who are struggling. Maybe you're listening, to this podcast. You're struggling with seeing your significance outside of your success.
Yeah.
If I took away all your success, if I took away all of your achievements, achievements, accolades, accomplishments, attainments, you know, those are my A's. If I took it all away, I stripped you all down and I just left you, would you feel like you're enough? Would you accept yourself? Would you truly appreciate yourself just for you, just for your existence, just for your existence? Because the Bible says in Genesis, last verse of chapter one, it says that we hadn't done anything. God had created us And he looked over everything that he had created, including us, and he says, this is good. And when you translate that, this is good, that's translated as being exceedingly well, exceedingly good, excellent, excellent. And so we're born excellent, but do we have the ability to really believe that of ourselves, that your existence is enough evidence for your enoughness, right? That's kind of how I phrase it. Is your existence enough evidence for your enoughness? Because I've talked to psychs, I've talked to all types of professionals, and they'll fight me on it. And they'll say, yeah, we hear you, man, but people got to do something. Yes, we do have to do something. But God didn't require us to do anything before he said we were good. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, he's given us things to do. Absolutely, he wants us to do great things. That's a part of why he gave us gifts.
Yeah.
But the base level acceptance has to be, I am, so I am enough. Then we can work from there. Then we can work from there. So, you know, again, it's a book written to those asking that question. It's the father. Have I done enough to be a good father? Are my kids happy with me? Do they accept me? Do they love me? It's the husband. Have I done enough to be a good husband? Does my wife love me? Does she accept me? It's the professional. You know, have I done enough for this company? Have I climbed the corporate ladder? Have I gotten, you know, high enough in the company? Have I achieved enough? It's the guy, it's the woman, it's the child that is sitting somewhere saying, I've done everything I know to do. And it just does not feel like it's enough. I am tired. I am emotionally exhausted. I've done everything I can. And it just doesn't feel like it's enough. And that's the problem that I want to address. You'll never do enough to be enough. It's not within your capacity because you weren't created to. It's not something that you earn. It's something that you learn. Your value is not something that you earn. It's something that you learn. So that's why it's impossible for you to do enough, because you weren't created to earn it. You're trying to earn something that you already have. You just have to discover it, which goes back to the greatest form of self-development is simply self-discovery.
Wow. All of that was just so powerful and so simple. Once you take away everything else and just decide that I am enough, that just base foundation, it simplifies so many things.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really powerful.
Trying to get it out there. I'm trying to get it out there. Pray for me. Trying to get it out there.
Definitely. You know? So you have some cool things coming up. You're starting your own podcast, right?
Yeah. So right now it's called the So What Broadcast. It's every Saturday on Facebook. And the reason that we call it the So What is really an acronym, S-O, seeing our what. Is seeing our word.
Okay.
So that kind of goes back to tying into that theme. When you see what you are, because again, that's the missing element. That to me, when people introduce me, sometimes they'll say, yeah, so this is Mr. I Am Possible, or Travell C.W. Lynch. He's the founder of I Am Possible. And I would say, not I Am Possible. I am the. Don't forget the, because the is telling you that I am something.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave the out, I am possible. Well, actually, to me, that's a lie. I'm not possible. I already am. So what's to come? It's but the says I am the possible. I and my possibilities are one and the same. So I always want to include that what element. And so my podcast is centered around, you know, learning what we are and really pushing that and not coming off of it. Because I'm not saying that I'm the only one speaking it, but I haven't found anyone else that's going in on the what of life. And, you know, if I find some, then, you know, we can partner and we can do some things. But yeah, that's the name of the podcast right now.
I love it. And you have your live on Facebook. How long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been going live just in general, probably 3 or 4 years. So that's like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's my usual schedule. But if the Lord prompts something, I'll just do something off the cuff. So just kind of going live videos. I post recorded videos often and then also live videos. But as far as starting the every Saturday morning, you know, So What broadcast, that's only been up for 2 weeks. So I started it in July. So just really wanting to build some community around it. And I know it's a hard topic. You know, trying to be on a social platform and trying to get you know, kind of open with some of these can be challenging. So again, it's I throw myself out there. I'll see how it goes, tweak it how it needs to be tweaked. I may turn it into like a Facebook group so people can feel more safe and have a safer space so that it's not public. We can make the group private. And because all of my small groups that I've conducted prior to COVID, those have always gone well. People have always asked for more. Can the class go longer? Whenever we've done pilot groups on the book and just on this topic, people really enjoy it. So I was trying to bring that same element and that same feel to an online space because of our circumstance.
Okay. What are some of your goals for you? For what do you see for the rest of 2020?
Yeah. 2020 is the year of consistency and monetizing. because I've been told that multiple times that I'm, you know, as a pastor, as a teacher, you love to give, you love to speak, you love to share. But at some point, because I do have a goal of transitioning from corporate America, I've been in corporate America 14 years now, and it's been good to me. I've climbed the ladder, and, you know, God has absolutely blessed us financially and blessed me, you know, within my career. But I really want to dedicate my life to writing and teaching. So there has to be a transition phase at some point. And I'm really, you know, believing and praying that this would be the year that I can fully transition out. So really just being consistent with my content and really perfecting sort of my delivery, sort of the way that I minister through this online space and the way that I share and minister the content from the book. And then monetizing, really starting to put together master classes, mindset. People have asked me about coaching. They've asked me about mindset courses. And so I forgot where I heard it, but I was taking a course or I was listening to one of my mentors, and they said that, you know, people will tell you what they'll pay for. You know, people will tell you what they want from you. So coaching, mindset courses, master classes has been a theme that people have been requesting, but I've not truly sat down to truly package that content and to begin to sell it. So those are really my two main goals.
Okay. And then one of my final questions for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
I decided that I was brave. Yeah, to be honest, it was 2001 when we moved here to Southern California. I knew then that my bravery was hidden in my faith in God's power. Meaning when we, you know, again, we fasted, we prayed, we believe that we heard from God. But that doesn't mean family and friends believed you heard from God.
Yeah, that's hard because you can get that opposition because they want what they want too. And then it can make you doubt what God told you.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we had it. We had it from every angle, family members not wanting us to go, bosses telling us, you know, yeah, we'll believe it when we see you on the airplane, you know, just all types of hate and all types of, you know, stuff that they would throw at us. But then also our own humanity from the Midwest, coming from a small town like Toledo. That's a small town with a small town mindset. And, you know, we didn't have jobs. We didn't have careers. I didn't go to, like, a part of my testimony was dropping out of college. So to move, and our pastor, by the way, told us, look, we want you to pray and to seek God's face to make this move, but we ain't got no money to support you. So if you come out here, we're not supporting you. Like, it's going to be faith.
Big faith, please.
So big faith, please. So 2,000 miles away, I knew I was brave when I moved my wife and my first son from Toledo, Ohio to Southern California with no guarantees. No guarantees whatsoever. Didn't have a job. We got evicted 2 months in. We came out here and exhausted every penny we had and was evicted out of our first apartment and had to stay with friends and then stay with friends and then got kicked out of there and then had to stay with our pastors for like a month or so. And then slowly, you know, from there, you know, getting on welfare and, you know, EBT cards and scrapping it together and pulling it together. And man, it's been a journey. But for me to even pick up and say, yeah, let's make this move. That's when I knew that I was brave. And that's when I knew that if I hunker down, if I, as my mentor says, stay under with God, man, ain't no stopping me. There's no limits to what God can do if you trust in Him.
Amen.
You do it in your own strength.
You're done for. You're done for.
I can't help you.
Right. Done for.
Even the old strength, man. Yeah. But if you put all your eggs in His basket, not saying that it won't be rough, that it won't get extremely taxing, but He is so faithful, He'll always see you through it.
Yeah.
So my bravery is His bravery. Truly, when I'm weak, He's strong.
I love it. All right. Where can everybody find your book, your masterclass, all your info?
IamThePossible.com.
Okay.
Everything is branded. If you just put in I Am The Possible, whether it's Google, Bing, whatever search engine that you have, just I Am The Possible, that's going to take you there to the website on all of my social media platforms, because it's been branded, been trademarked. So really wanted to make it simple to be found. So just one continual word, all lowercase, no space, I Am The Possible.
All right. Thank you so much, Travail. This was amazing. I appreciate
having
you on.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you loved my conversation with Travail. I will put all his info in the show notes so you can look him up, purchase his book if you like, and also get into his cool new masterclass that he's offering. All right, here are my three asks. First, if you love what you're hearing and you think it would benefit someone as well, go on and share the podcast with a friend. Second, subscribe. If you want to get in on any fun giveaways I'm doing or find out what's going on with the podcast in general or any new info that I'm going to put out, getting on the email list is the way to do that. So how to get on the email list is you go to www.apeachandcali.com/podcast. Wrong. That is wrong. Go to contact us. Oh my word. Sorry, guys. Go to contact us. Put your email in and boom, that's it. That is how you get on the email list. Wow, I need my coffee to kick in right now. All right, finally, ratings. Ratings really helps others find the show and lets me know when I am doing well. It's a big help to me and it's a big help for others. So those are my three asks. And next week's guest, we're actually going to go across the pond. We're going to England or the UK. And we're going to talk to Lee Chambers. His story is great, and you're going to absolutely love him. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye.